بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The following is the full text of the speech delivered on February 16, 2013 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the people of East Azerbaijan. The meeting was held on the anniversary of the uprising by the people of Tabriz on the 29th of Bahman of 1356. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I welcome you all, dear brothers and sisters, and the dear youth. In particular, I welcome the dear families of martyrs, religious scholars, and government officials who have come here from distant places and brought valuable gifts of affection from the dear people of Azerbaijan on this occasion and delivered their message of resistance. I hope that Allah the Exalted bestows great blessings and infinite mercy on all of you. I would tell you, dear brothers and sisters, and all the people of Azerbaijan and Tabriz, including religious men and women, that the presence of the people of Azerbaijan and Tabriz has truly played a determining role in the movement of the Iranian nation throughout all the eras in our history, from 100 and 150 years ago until today, and today nothing has changed. It is you who have managed to protect the dignity of our country and our nation against the enemies with your firm determination, your pride, and your faith. And Azerbaijan has played an increasingly significant role in different arenas. 35 years have passed since the 29th of Bahman of 1356. Today, in terms of faith, resistance, and wisdom, Azerbaijan is even better than it was during those important and fateful times. There have been so many vicious plots to separate the people in different parts of the country, but these plots have backfired. It is you who have always managed to play a leading role. In fact, it is you who are the anchor of peace in this country. As you said in the poem you recited, you are the peace in the heart of Iran. One can clearly see that the dear people of Azerbaijan have a specific characteristic. This characteristic exists in other parts of the country, but in Azerbaijan it is more visible. This characteristic is that the political activities and the different movement of the people of Azerbaijan in different eras. In the case of the constitutional movement, the military occupation of Azerbaijan and different other issues were based on religion and a religious faith, and they played a leading role in many of these issues. Despite the fact that the leftist intellectual movement and the movement which was dependent on the West were active in Azerbaijan since after the introduction of the unhealthy intellectual movement into our country, and despite the fact that they were trying to separate the people from religion, the movement of the people was based on religion. If you take a look at the movements which were started in Azerbaijan, many of these movements were national movements, and the people of Azerbaijan were pioneers. You can see that despite the efforts of those leftist movements, the people and the leaders of these popular movements expressed their commitment to religious issues more openly than the people in other cities. In Tabriz, Sattar Khan used to say, "The fatwa of the ulama of Najaf is in my pocket." That is to say, this great and brave man used to coordinate with the marja taqlids of Najaf. What he did was exactly the opposite of what Eastern and Western intellectual movements wanted to achieve at that time in the country. Today, nothing has changed, and nothing will change in the future either. The Iranian nation considers religious faith as the standard. I cited Azerbaijan as an example of this religious faith. People throughout the country are, more or less, like this. The movement of the Iranian nation is one that is accomplished by pride, courage, and a sense of responsibility. But it is based on religious teachings and religious faith. This is very valuable. That is why the dangers caused by the global powers, which other nations are usually faced with and which make them waver, did not threaten the people of Iran and did not make them waver. When the enemies wanted to impose sanctions and exert pressures, they said, "We want to impose crippling sanctions on the people of Iran," and they did this. 2-3 days before the 22nd of Bahman, they put a new round of sanctions into the equation. Besides, a few months ago, in Mordad of this year, they did the same thing, that is to say, they increased their so-called pressures on the people before the 22nd of Bahman of this year. What do they hope to achieve? They do these things in the hope of weakening the people. What was the response of the people? The people of Iran responded by participating in the rallies on the 22nd of Bahman more enthusiastically. All the people participated. People from different parts of the country participated. They participated with great spirit and with a smile on their face. The people of Iran are such people. Each year, on the 22nd of Bahman, the people of Iran deal a blow to the enemies. They strike the enemies and the opponents like an avalanche. This avalanche struck them this year, too. I deem it necessary to express my gratitude again. Even if one expresses his gratitude 100 times, one is not overdoing it. To the people of Iran, for their glorious and impressive presence in the rallies on the 22nd of Bahman. One should bow before such insight. The people of Iran are such people. I would tell you that in these conditions, the enemies have taken a passive role. Despite the fact that they pretend to be active, they are not active. The enemy has taken a passive role in the face of the Iranian nation. Enjoying firm determination, wisdom, and faith, our people know what they want, and they know the way to achieve their goals. They endure the hardships with great courage. Different political, military, and economic weapons do not work on our nation. Therefore, the enemy has taken a passive role, and for this reason, they make irrational moves. I would tell you that American politicians are irrational people. They make irrational statements. They act in an irrational and thuggish way. They expect other countries to give in to their unreasonable demands and their bullying. Well, some people do give in to their demands. Some governments and some political personalities in certain countries give in to their bullying. But the Iranian nation and the Islamic Republic will not give in. The Islamic Republic of Iran has many things to say. It has logical reasons. It has power and authority. For this reason, the Islamic Republic does not give in to irrational statements and actions. In what ways are they irrational? The sign of their irrationality is the contradiction between their words and actions. Their words are not in line with their actions. No other piece of evidence can show their irrationality more clearly. A reasonable person makes a convincing comment and then he sticks by it. These men, American politicians and their Western followers, are not such people. They say a certain thing and make a certain claim, but they do exactly the opposite of what they have claimed or said. I would like to give a number of examples. They claim that they are committed to human rights. The Americans have raised the flag of human rights. They say, "We are committed to human rights, not only in our country, America, but also in the entire world." Well, this is a claim. What have they done in practice? In practice, they inflict the most serious harm on human rights, and they hurl the biggest insult at human rights in different countries. Their secret prisons throughout the world, such as their prisons in Guantanamo Bay, in Iraq, in Abu Ghraib, and in their attack on civilians in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and in different areas, are examples of the Americans' claim to support human rights. Based on the news that is reported every day from Afghanistan and Pakistan, their drones both spy for them and pressure the people. Of course, as an American journalist said a few days ago, these drones will be a source of trouble for them in the future. They say that they're committed to the non-proliferation of nuclear weapons. Their pretext for attacking Iraq 11 years ago was that the regime of Saddam wanted to build nuclear weapons in Iraq. Of course, they went there and they did not find anything, and it became clear that it was a lie. They say that they are committed to non-proliferation of nuclear weapons. This is while they support an evil government, the Zionist government, which has nuclear weapons and which threatens to use them. That is what they say, and this is how they act. They say that they are committed to the establishment of democracy in the world. I do not want to speak about the kind of democracy America itself has. Under this claim, they constantly confront the Islamic Republic, which has the most genuine democracy in the region. This is while they shamelessly support certain countries in the region which do not know the first thing about democracy, and in which the people have not seen ballot boxes even once. This is their commitment to democracy. Notice how different their words and actions are. They say that they want to resolve their issues with Iran. They have said this many times. Recently, they are speaking about it even more than before. They say that they want to negotiate and resolve their issues with Iran, but this is only what they say. In practice, they resort to imposing sanctions and broadcasting negative propaganda. They publish inappropriate and false things about the Islamic Republic and the people of Iran. A few days ago, the President of America delivered a speech about the nuclear issue of Iran. He spoke as if the conflict between Iran and America is over Iran's decision to build nuclear weapons. He said that they will do everything in their power to prevent Iran from building nuclear weapons. If we wanted to build nuclear weapons, how would you stop us? If Iran had decided to build nuclear weapons, America would not be able to stop it in any way. We do not want to build nuclear weapons, and this is not because we will upset America. Rather, it is because of our beliefs. We believe that building nuclear weapons is a crime against humanity, and they should not be built. Besides, we believe that the existing nuclear weapons should be destroyed. This is our belief. It has nothing to do with you. If we did not have this belief, and we decided to build our nuclear weapons, no power could stop us, as they could not stop other countries. They could not do this in India, Pakistan, and North Korea. The Americans were opposed to the development of nuclear weapons in these countries, but these people still built nuclear weapons. The Americans claim, "We will not let Iran build nuclear weapons." This is deceptive talk. Is this an issue of nuclear weapons? Regarding Iran, the issue is not related to nuclear weapons.
The issue is that you want to deny Iran its natural and inalienable right to enrich uranium and use nuclear energy for peaceful purposes through using its domestic capacities. Of course, you cannot do this either, and the Iranian nation will not renounce its right. American politicians make irrational statements. One cannot use logic when he speaks to an irrational person. After all, he is irrational. Irrational means thuggish. It means somebody who speaks nonsense. This is a fact which we have become aware of through our involvement in different global issues. We understand who our opposing side is and how he should be confronted. I have written down a few things to discuss with you, dear brothers and sisters in the entire Iranian nation. Of course, these statements are addressed to the people of Iran. When they speak, when the American president speaks, when his companions and followers speak, they want to mislead public opinion. Public opinion in the world, in the region, or if they can, in our country. At the moment, I do not want to speak about public opinion in the world. The global media network, which is under the domination of Zionists and the Americans, either does not reflect our statements or it reflects them in an incomplete or distorted way. Therefore, I wish to speak to the people of Iran. The power of the Islamic Republic has nothing to do with public opinion in the world. The Islamic Republic has not gained its power, and it has not achieved dignity and glory with the help of public opinion in the world. It has achieved these things with the help of the people of Iran. The firm and solid foundation which the Iranian nation has built, and the news of which is quickly spreading throughout the world, is based on the Iranian nation itself. I speak to the people of Iran. I will not address other nations, but they can listen if they want to. They can reflect on my statements or not reflect on them, but the people of Iran should know about these things. Therefore, the first point is that they are unreasonable. They speak without believing in what they say, and their words and actions are different. The second point is that they have raised the issue of negotiations. They say Iranian officials should come to us so that we can sit down and negotiate. The same unreasonable behavior can be seen in their offer of negotiations. Their purpose is not to solve the problems and resolve the issues. I will explain this later. Their purpose is creating hype. They want to say to Muslim nations, this was the Islamic Republic with all that intense determination and resistance, but finally it had to negotiate with us. Even the Iranian nation ended up like this. What can you do? They need negotiations in order to suppress countries which have gained power, in which the breeze of Islamic awakening has blown, countries which feel that they have dignity because of Islam. They want to make these countries hopeless. Since the beginning of the revolution, this was one of their goals. Since the beginning of the revolution, one of their goals was to drag Iran to the negotiating table and make it deal with it. One of their goals was to gain the opportunity to say, did you see that finally Iran, which claimed to be independent and courageous, and which claimed that it had stood up against us, was forced to come and sit at the negotiating table? Today, they pursue the same goal. This is an important issue. When the purpose of negotiations is not resolving the main issues, and when the purpose of negotiations is to create hype, it is clear that the opposing side, the Islamic Republic, is not naive, and it has not closed its eyes. It understands what your goal is, therefore it responds on the basis of your intentions. The third point is that in the eyes of the Americans and the powers which seek to dominate the world, the true meaning of negotiations is accepting what they say at the negotiating table. They say, let us sit and talk so that you come to the conclusion that you should accept what you would not accept before. They say in their propaganda about negotiations, you may have heard about this, that they should rather directly negotiate with Iran, and they cause a stir and create hype about it. Even the statements that they made today clearly conveyed the message that they want to convince Iran to stop enriching uranium and producing nuclear energy. This is their goal. They do not say, let us sit and negotiate so that Iran can give its own reasons and so that we stop pressuring them, imposing sanctions on them, and interfering in political and security issues. Rather, they say, we should negotiate so that Iran accepts what we say. This kind of negotiation does not serve any purpose. It will not reach any results. Even if Iran accepts to negotiate, and even if our officials sit down and negotiate with Americans, what kind of negotiation is it when their goal is to make Iran surrender? It is obvious what Iran will not give up its rights. During negotiations, whenever they see that the opposing side speaks reasonably and they have nothing to say against Iran, they break off negotiations. Then, they say that Iran does not want to negotiate. Political networks, as well as news networks, are under their control and they broadcast this propaganda. We have experienced this. During the past 15 years, two or three times, the Americans sent a message about a specific issue. They insisted that there is a very important and a very critical issue and that we should sit down and talk with them. Well, executive officials, usually one or two people, went to a certain place and spoke to them. As soon as these officials made their rational statements and the Americans found out that they have no response, the negotiations were broken off unilaterally. Of course, they achieved their propaganda purposes. This is our experience. Well, it is wrong to test something which has already been tested. The fourth point is that they pretend in their propaganda that if Iran sits at the negotiating table and negotiates with America, their sanctions will be lifted. This is a lie as well. Their goal is to make the people of Iran become eager to negotiate with America by promising to lift sanctions. They think that the people of Iran are exhausted by the sanctions and are frustrated. They think that everything is in a mess and that they can tell us, well, come and negotiate with us so that we can lift the sanctions. They think that this will cause the entire Iranian nation to ask them to negotiate. This is also one of their irrational and deceptive statements, and it is a tool for bullying. First, as I said, when they ask us to negotiate with them, they do not really mean fair and rational negotiation. Negotiation means that we should accept what they say and surrender so that they lift the sanctions. If the Iranian nation wanted to surrender, they would not have carried out a revolution. America was dominant over the issues of Iran, and it did what it liked. The Iranian people carried out a revolution in order to free themselves from the yoke of America. How should they surrender to you again? This is the first problem with their offer of negotiations. Another problem is that the sanctions will not be lifted with negotiations. I would tell you that the purpose of sanctions is something else. The purpose of sanctions is exhausting the people of Iran and separating them from the Islamic Republic. Even if negotiations are conducted but our people stay present on the scene and stand up for their rights, sanctions will continue. What will the Iranian nation do to counter this wrong idea that the enemies have? There is an idea in the minds of the opposing sides. Let us elaborate and analyze this idea. They say, the Islamic Republic relies on the people. If we manage to separate the people from the Republic, the power to resist will be taken away from the Islamic Republic. This is how the opposing side thinks. Well, this idea has two parts. The first part, that the Islamic Republic relies on the people, is accurate. There is no source of support for the Islamic Republic except for the people. The people are the fortifications that protect the country and the Islamic Revolution. The second part, that they think that they can bring the people to their knees by imposing sanctions and bullying them on an international, commercial, and other such issues, is false. If they think that they can take away this source of support from the Islamic Republic, they are wrong. The Iranian nation will think of some ways to counter what the enemy wants to do. The Iranian nation is looking for economic blossoming, economic progress, and complete prosperity. But it does not want to achieve this goal by being humiliated before the enemy. It wants to achieve this goal with its own capabilities, courage, advancements, and with the capabilities of its youth. It does not want to achieve this with anything else. There is no doubt that sanctions exert pressure on the people and bother them. But there are two ways to approach these pressures. Weak nations surrender to the enemy when he exerts pressures and they bow and show regret before him. But a brave nation, like the Iranian nation, tries to use its own capabilities as soon as it sees that the enemy is exerting pressures and it tries to pass through the danger zone. And our nation will definitely do this. We have 30 years of experience in this regard. There are certain countries in the region which have been under the domination of America for more than 30 years. The governments in these countries have been servants of America. They have been obedient to America, and they have been taking orders from it. What is their position? The Iranian nation has been putting up a resistance against America for more than 30 years. What is the position of the Iranian nation? In the face of 30 years of pressures by America, the Iranian nation has reached such a position in terms of scientific, economic, and cultural progress, and in terms of international dignity, political influence, and political power, that the people and government officials during the time of the Pahlavi and Qajar regimes could not even dream of. We have experienced this. We have tested this. We have stood up against the pressures of America for 30 years. We have such a position. But there are nations which have been under the domination of America for 30 years, and they are behind other countries to a great extent. We did not suffer a loss as a result of resistance. Resistance revives the inner spirit of a nation. It makes it active. The sanctions which they impose will be helpful to the Iranian nation. By Allah's favor and grace, the sanctions will help the Iranian nation achieve growth and blossoming. This is an important point. Well, you saw what the people did in the rallies. We cannot say that the people have no complaints about the high prices and their existing problems. Prices are high, and there are certain economic problems, and the people, particularly underprivileged people, feel them. But this did not make the people separate themselves from the Islamic Republic. The people know that the Islamic Republic, dear and powerful Islam, and the officials who are committed to Islam, are the powerful hands which can solve the problems. They can solve the problems. Surrendering to the enemies will not solve any of their problems. The last point is that unlike American politicians, we are reasonable. Our officials are reasonable. Our people are reasonable. We accept rational statements and rational actions. If the Americans show that they will not bully us anymore, if they show that they will not commit evil deeds, if they show that they will not say and do irrational things, and if they show that they will respect the rights of the Iranian nation, if they show that they will not fuel the fire of discord in this country, if they show that they will not interfere in the internal affairs of Iran, like the interference by supporting those who started the fitna in 1388, then they will see that the Islamic Republic is benevolent and the people are reasonable. In the fitna of the year 1388, they supported those who started the fitna, and they put social networks at the service of these people. In those days, a social network wanted to close down in order to fix some technical problems. They asked the network not to close down so that they could exert influence over the fitna. If they stop doing these things, then they will see that the Islamic Republic is well-wishing. The only way to establish relations with the Islamic Republic is this. There is no other way. They can establish relations with the Islamic Republic in such a way. The Americans should prove that they have goodwill. They should prove that they are not after bullying. If they prove this, then they will see that the Iranian nation will make an appropriate response. If they do not commit evil deeds, if they do not interfere, if they do not bully, and if they acknowledge the rights of the Iranian nation, then an appropriate response will be given by the Iranian nation. I would like to say a few things about the internal issues of our country. This is an important issue. An event took place in the Majlis. It was a bad and inappropriate event. It made both the people and our elites unhappy. I became upset for two reasons. The first is the fact that the event itself happened, and the second is the fact that the people are unhappy about this issue. In this event, the head of a certain branch made an accusation against the other two branches on the basis of an unproven allegation which had not even been considered by a court of law. This course of action was bad and inappropriate. These acts are against Sharia and the law, and they are immoral. They violate the basic rights of the people. One of the basic rights of the people is living in peace and in psychological and moral security. If a person is accused of corruption, one cannot accuse other people on the basis of this accusation. Even if he is found guilty, let alone the current case in which the accused has not been found guilty, he has not been summoned by the court and has not come to trial. One should not accuse others. Accusing other people, the Majlis, and the judiciary branch on the basis of an accusation that has been leveled against another person is an appropriate course of action. It is a wrong course of action. For the time being, I offer a piece of advice. This behavior is not appropriate for the Islamic Republic. On the other hand, the questioning of the minister in the Majlis was a wrong course of action. Questioning should serve a certain purpose. What is the purpose of questioning a minister a few months before the end of the minister's term over an issue which is not related to the minister? Why did they do this? I have heard that inside the Majlis, a number of people said inappropriate things. This course of action was also wrong. All these events are inappropriate for the Islamic Republic. Neither that accusation, nor that behavior, nor that questioning was appropriate. The things which the Honorable Speaker of the Majlis said in his own defense were excessive. It was not necessary to do that. We are all brothers. When there is a common enemy in front of us, and when we see plots, what should we do? Until today, the officials have always stayed by one another's side. Now, too, they should stay like this. They should always act like this. I have always supported the officials of the three branches and the officials of the country. I will continue to support each person who has a responsibility. I will help him. But I do not like these acts. This kind of behavior is not in line with the oaths they take and with the promises they make. Take a look at the greatness of the people. These people deserve to be treated in a different way. Today, the officials should focus all their efforts on solving economic problems. 3 or 4 years ago, during a speech which I delivered in the beginning of the year, I explicitly said to the people and the officials that the plot of the enemies of the Iranian nation would be to focus, more than anything else, on our economic issues. Well, you see that the enemies did this. Both the executive branch and the Majlis should focus all their efforts and all their attention on pursuing accurate economic policies. A few years ago, I wrote a letter to the heads of the three branches of government about combating economic corruption. You should combat economic corruption. This problem is not solved by speaking about it. You should combat economic corruption in practice. You repeatedly speak about economic corruption. When did you combat it? What was done in practice? What did you do in practice? These issues make one distressed. Now that the enemies have increased their hostility, I expect the officials to strengthen their friendship. Piety, piety, piety. We expect the officials to focus all their efforts on solving the problems of the people by exercising patience, by suppressing unrestrained emotions, and by taking the issues of the country into consideration. By Allah's favor, this benevolent piece of advice will draw the attention of the officials, particularly high-ranking officials. They should be committed to this issue. I should add another point. The things that I said today and the complaints I made against a number of officials should not make some people shout slogans against such and such people. I am against this course of action. Some people label a certain person as anti-wilayat, anti-insight, and anti-whatever. Then they shout slogans against him and create disruption in the Majlis. I am against these moves. I would like to speak openly about these issues. I am against the kind of events which happened in Qom. I am against the kind of events that happened at the Imam Khomeini's holy shrine. I asked the officials many times to prevent these things. Those who do such things, if they are really Hizbullahi and religious, should stop doing them. You can see that we consider these moves as harmful to the country. We do not benefit from them. It is not helpful to set out to shout slogans against such and such people by releasing emotions. These slogans will not solve any problems. Keep this anger and these emotions for the time when it is necessary to express them. During the sacred defense era, if besiegees had decided to act at will, then the country would have been destroyed. Discipline and social order are necessary, and it is necessary to take certain things into consideration. If these people do not pay attention to these principles, then they should be treated in a different way. But those who pay attention to these principles and who believe they should not make moves against Sharia should take care not to make such moves. Thankfully, the people of Iran have insight. I would tell you, dear youth, that the day when we are gone and you are in charge, the situation of the Iranian nation will be much better in terms of material and spiritual prosperity. The Iranian nation is moving towards light. There are bright prospects for us. We should watch our behavior. We should ask Allah the Exalted to help us. We should ask the immaculate souls of our martyrs and the immaculate souls of our magnanimous Imam, rahmatullah alayh, to help us. By Allah's favor, you and I will benefit from the prayers of the Imam of the age. May our souls be sacrificed for his cause. Greetings be upon you, and Allah's mercy and blessings.